It turns out Flight 1549 suffered compressor stalls 2 days before it became a seaplane. Could the heroes of the Miracle on the Hudson face lawsuits? And another investment executive is missing in Florida. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 20th, 2009. New York would probably love to throw a ticker tape parade for the crew of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, but it looks as if everyone involved is staying out of sight and being careful what they say about the event. Wonder why? CNN is now reporting that 2 days before last Thursday's ditching in the Hudson River, passengers on the same route and the very same aircraft reported hearing a series of loud bangs. Steve Jeffrey of Charlotte, North Carolina, told CNN he was flying in first class Tuesday when, about 20 minutes into the flight, quote, "It sounded like the wing was just snapping off. The red light started going on. A little pandemonium was going on. It seemed so loud, like luggage was hitting the side, but times a thousand. It startled everyone on the plane. The stewardesses started running around. They made an announcement that everyone heard the noise, were going to turn around and head back to LaGuardia and check out what happened. About 10 minutes later, when we never made the turn, we kept going. That's when the pilot came on and explained the air didn't get to the engine and it stalled the engine out, which he said doesn't happen all the time, but it's not abnormal," unquote. Like many things in life, this was less traumatic to passengers who knew what was going on. Another passenger, John Hodak, emailed CNN to say, quote, "About 20 minutes after takeoff, the plane had a series of compressor stalls on the right engine. There were several very loud bangs and fire coming out of the engine. The pilot at first told us that we were going to make an emergency landing, but after about 5 minutes continued the flight to Charlotte," unquote. In a later interview, Hodak said the pilot, quote, "came back on and said it was a stalled compressor and they were going to continue to Charlotte," unquote. So how, you ask, is this related to Thursday's bird strike event involving the same plane? Well, you obviously lack the imagination necessary to be a successful attorney. The crew members of Flight 1549 are highly sought-after interview subjects, but they're apparently having to walk on eggshells over liability concerns. Captain Chesley Sullenberger was booked on NBC's Today Show yesterday morning, but the appearance was postponed indefinitely. The Airline Pilots Association has released an official statement saying, quote, "The entire crew recognizes the media's interest in speaking with them as soon as possible, and they are willing to share their experiences when the time is right. However, as the NTSB investigation is ongoing, they ask that the media respect their desire to refrain from participating in interviews until further notice," unquote. But does this really have anything to do with the NTSB? Just hours after the ditching of Flight 1549, Aero News received a press release from a prominent New York law firm asking to speak with passengers about the incident. Within the hour, the firm had pulled that release from its website, perhaps deciding the celebration of the miraculous outcome made it a bad time for ambulance chasing. Even if a final NTSB report exonerates the crew and the airline of any wrongdoing, it won't be admissible in court as evidence in a civil trial. We may never get to hear the stories of the crew at this rate. In response to slowing orders for new engines, General Electric, the world's largest manufacturer of jet engines, has announced plans to trim 1,000 jobs, or about 2.6% of its worldwide workforce. GE spokesman Rick Kennedy said the company will reduce numbers through attrition, voluntary departures, and retirements. GE says it has a backlog of over 9,000 engine orders and has yet to receive a single cancellation, but new orders are slowing. CEO David Joyce added, quote, "Our ability today to predict the outcome of 2009 is more uncertain than normal as a result of the market volatility, and our planning takes this into account," unquote. There's another mystery involving a missing corporate executive and a bunch of missing money, and again, the search is centered on Florida. Investment manager, philanthropist, and FBO owner Arthur G. Nattel left a note behind that made his family worry that he was contemplating suicide, parked his car at the Sarasota Bradenton International Airport on Wednesday, then disappeared. His partner in Scoop Management made a public statement Thursday confirming that, quote, "Just yesterday afternoon we became aware of an extremely serious situation suggesting that the funds may have virtually no remaining value," unquote. The company was managing a total of $350 million. The Sarasota Herald Tribune reports the 75-year-old Nadal's family is cooperating with authorities and still trying to piece together what happened. Up next on ANN, Delta threatens to move some operations out of Atlanta. American brings voluntary safety reporting to its cabin crews. And a lost helicopter pilot may have been text messaging when he went down. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 20th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Back in 2006, when there was talk of U.S. Airways staging a hostile takeover of then-bankrupt Delta and closing down its Atlanta headquarters, Delta rallied the local citizenry by handing out 50,000 red campaign-style buttons which read, "Keep Delta, My Delta." Now, clear of bankruptcy and having recently acquired Northwest Airlines, Delta has done a full 180 and is using a threat to move some of its operations out of Atlanta as a negotiating tactic with Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the airline is renegotiating its 30-year-old leases and claims the airport is pushing terms that would increase its cost per passenger emplanement from $5 to $10, related in part to a new terminal which has seen costs bloat to double original projections. Delta spokesman Kent Landers said on Sunday, quote, "Over time, if the cost per passenger doubles at Hartsfield-Jackson, it's Delta's responsibility to consider the advantage of routing some of the two-thirds of passengers connecting here to hubs where the costs are lower," unquote. That mention of two-thirds is a reference to the fact that about 65% of Delta passenger traffic in Atlanta consists of transfers, with only about one-third representing travelers for whom Atlanta is the original departure or final destination. Delta's acquisition of Northwest brought it new hub options in the region, including Memphis and Cincinnati. Minneapolis-based airline analyst Terry Tripler thinks airport management better take Delta's warning seriously. Quote, "I think Delta is in the driver's seat. You just don't thumb your nose at being a headquarters and main hub for the world's largest airline. Memphis would be a great overflow for Atlanta. They could easily move some of their business to Memphis," unquote. Atlanta Mayor Shirley Franklin says there is no proposal before the city which would double Delta's fees and predicts the impasse will be resolved. Delta has been headquartered in Atlanta for 7 decades. ASAP, the Aviation Safety Action Program, started in the 1990s at American Airlines and promised pilots who voluntarily reported safety concerns immunity from FAA action and company reprisal. It worked well and soon spread to several other airlines, but has recently gone the way of the dodo, as bankruptcy concessions and other labor issues have poisoned the atmosphere between airline execs and their pilot unions. Now, American Airlines has again become an ASAP pioneer, but this time the program is for flight attendants. On Friday, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants and the FAA officially launched ASAP for cabin crews. As in the version involving flight crews, it's hoped ASAP reports will help identify potential precursors to serious incidents. This version instantly becomes the largest single ASAP in the world, covering Americans' 18,000-plus flight attendants. While the airline is crowing about the achievement, it must also realize that it may last only as long as the current flight attendant's contract with American. The fatal crash of a helicopter flying over New Zealand's Lake Wanaka has been linked to the possibility that the pilot may have been texting with a cell phone, providing a distraction that led to the crash. The New Zealand Herald reports that 31-year-old Morgan Saxton was flying his newly rebuilt Robinson R-22 last November, following his father in another helicopter across the lake toward Wanaka Airport. When he failed to arrive at his destination, the senior Saxton became concerned and a search was initiated. Saxton's friend, Jonathan Wallace, confirmed that Saxton texted him about 6:20 p.m., the same time Saxton would have been flying over the lake. But since no one saw the helo go down, the exact time of the crash is unknown. Wallace's brother, Toby, said Saxton was an experienced pilot, but admitted the practice of texting while flying is not uncommon, and that he's done it himself. Steve Kuchman, an Auckland-based rescue helicopter pilot, commented, quote, "Most of us carry mobiles, but I don't answer mine when I'm flying. In my opinion, nothing is important enough to be using your phone during a flight," unquote. Investigators have not yet suggested that the texting was a factor in the accident. A demonstration against the planned expansion of London Heathrow Airport was staged Saturday at high noon in the airport's Terminal 5. Hundreds of people dressed in red T-shirts reading "Stop Airport Expansion" jammed the busy terminal, displaying banners and chanting "No Third Runway." UK's Sky News reports that one man, dressed as Transport Secretary Jeff Hoon, stood in stocks while others threw sponges at him. Another, dressed as Prime Minister Gordon Brown, booted an inflatable globe around the terminal. A group of female protesters sporting red body paint and the words "Simply No Slaughter" lettered across their bellies laid down on the floor surrounded by red balloons and police. The protest involved not only environmentalists, but NIMBYs concerned that their homes will be bulldozed to accommodate the new runway. Government officials insist the move to increase capacity at the airport is necessary to compete as a major European destination. Still ahead, Michael Griffin says goodbye to NASA staffers. A new website lets you barter your frequent flyer miles. And who's that robot with a shovel? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 20th. I'm Paul Plack. He said he wanted to stay, but has long acknowledged he'd have to go, and he officially resigned weeks ago. On Friday, NASA Administrator Michael Griffin broadcast a goodbye pep talk to employees agency-wide. Griffin congratulated workers for their success in restoring the public's trust in NASA after the tragic loss of the Space Shuttle Columbia in 2003. Quote, nothing in the world is harder than picking yourself up after a cataclysm and moving forward, and we've done it, unquote. Regarding his decision to go, Griffin spoke of philosophical differences with the Obama team. Quote, if you can't support the agenda, then the proper thing to do is leave. There are many things you could do with a $17.5 billion NASA civil space program, but what we can't do is squabble and fight, unquote. The Los Angeles Times reports Griffin urged NASA workers to support whoever is chosen as his successor. Quote, NASA will look great whether we're asked to return to the moon and establish a permanent presence there and go to Mars, as I think we ought to be asked to do, or whether we're asked to carry out some other task, unquote. NASA Associate Administrator Christopher Scolisi will oversee operations until a new administrator is appointed. Retired Air Force Major General Jonathan Scott Gratian is considered the favorite. It sounds like a kinky new reality TV concept, but Mile High Swap is actually a website aimed at salvaging frequent flyer miles which currently expire unused. According to a recent study by The Economist, there are 17 trillion unredeemed frequent flyer miles in circulation today, worth $500 billion. As airlines are shortening their expiration dates, MileHighSwap.com allows consumers to post items or services that they'd be willing to swap for airline miles or straight-up tickets free of charge. They can also ask each other for miles, avoiding the need to top off a frequent flyer account that has almost enough miles for that next trip. A painter recently offered to paint an entire house for 2 tickets to Hawaii. Another member swapped several antique chairs for 2 tickets. A frequent traveler with a substantial miles balance swapped for accounting services, 12 massages, and a ticket to the BCS Championship football game, which here in Utah, of course, we called the Consolation Bowl. Organizers believe they picked a good time for the launch. Quote, "The poor economic climate has been a blessing as we provide a service that costs nothing and creates value. We're sort of like an eBay or Amazon where the currency is frequent flyer miles instead of cash. Everyone asks why no one thought of this before," unquote. Even as the plight of U.S. automakers has revived Buy American sentiment, the Pentagon appears to be opening the door for the next Air Force One to come from Toulouse, France. As he takes office today, President Barack Obama inherits 2 Boeing 747s outfitted for duty as Air Force One, a flying office and command center equipped with defensive countermeasures, aerial refueling capability, lavish staterooms, and 87 phone lines, 28 of them encrypted. But the planes, which have been in use since 1990, are getting a little rickety and expensive to maintain. So recently, the U.S. Air Force quietly started kicking tires. The Los Angeles Times reports that for the first time since Boeing started supplying the planes during the Kennedy administration, the Pentagon has requested information not only from Boeing, but also from Airbus. Of note, the Boeing 747 used to be the world's largest airliner, but that title now belongs to the Airbus A380, which has one-upped the floor space of the 747 by a whopping 40%. Despite the fact that the new Marine One presidential helicopter fleet will come from a consortium which includes Italian and British companies, most industry observers believe it would be unthinkable to have an American president step out of a foreign-made Air Force One. John Pike, director of GlobalSecurity.org, predicts Congress would have a fit. Quote, "The American president getting off an American plane has been a major part of the U.S. being a superpower," unquote. But Teal Group aerospace analyst Richard Abulafia isn't so sure the A380 idea couldn't happen. Quote, "At first it sounds inconceivable, but then again so did the presidential helicopter selection. If politics was completely removed, the Air Force may decide they need all the space they can get," unquote. For its part, Boeing does not plan to go quietly. The company is mum on details, but is thought to be readying a new proposal based on a new, larger 747-8 intercontinental version of the plane, which is scheduled to enter airline service in 2011. The earliest the Air Force would expect the 3 new planes it wants for Air Force One would be 2016. Lexington Institute defense policy analyst Lauren Thompson predicts that regardless of any advantage for the A380, going in that direction would be tough. Quote, "It would be like the president arriving in a BMW limousine," unquote. And finally, before NASA's latest moon rover concept ever gets a shot at actual moon roving, it has an assignment here on Earth. The Lunar Electric Rover was chosen from among a record 1,382 applications, not only to take part in today's inaugural parade, but to bring up the rear as the parade's finale. Rob Ambrose, the Human Robotic Systems Project Lead for NASA's Exploration Technology Development Program, is excited. Quote, "We thought about parades before, but we never thought to aim as high as the inaugural parade. We're very honored. We are also very excited to show the public the new machines that NASA is developing for exploration," unquote. And so, as millions of Americans see the rover bringing up the rear of President Obama's procession, one has to wonder, will an unemployed Michael Griffin watch at home on TV and find the rover's position in the line an apt metaphor for the new administration's priorities? Would the metaphor be enhanced if the rover carried a broom and shovel? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. As we start a year which will feature its share of bad economic news, we'll revisit the advice of ANN managing editor Rob Finfrock on when, why, and how to get your news to us. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.